77 WABC. The following program is brought to you by NYU Winthrop Hospital. It's the weekend. Be good to yourself. It's Katz's Corner with Dr. Aaron Katz, where you get simple, straightforward answers to your questions about health, from diet and supplements to lifestyle changes. To reach Dr. Katz, call 800-848-WABC. Now, live on 77 WABC, it's the chairman of urology at NYU Winthrop Hospital in New York. Here is Dr. Aaron Katz.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome again to Katz's Corner here on WABC Radio in New York. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Katz, and we are live at 1-800-848-WABC. That number again is 1-800-848-9222 if you'd like to give me a call this morning. No particular guest this morning, just all of you. And so if you've been waiting for a while to give me a call, I know we've had a few shows in the past, and I want to thank all the listeners, especially those that are the dedicated ones. Now, if you're just joining us for the first time, well, welcome, and so glad that you could be here. And try to give you the latest and greatest in men's health every week. And I've had some terrific shows in the past few weeks. I had my new colleague on, Dr. Felix Chung, who joined us from Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center and joined the NYU Winthrop team here in beautiful Mineola. He's actually going to see patients. He's going to have a few locations. He'll be, I think, in Brooklyn as well as in out in Bethpage. Now that we're part of the NYU team, we have a number of different locations throughout Queens, Brooklyn, Manhattan, and throughout Long Island. It's really a fantastic merger that we've had over the past few months, and we've now joined with their electronic medical team. We're now part of the Epic medical system, which really is a fantastic system, state-of-the-art, and allows patients, if you're going... You know, the Epic system is throughout the United States and really throughout the world. So if you go to a hospital in, you know, Missouri and they're using the Epic system, which many are, your medical record is all there. It's not like the doctor has to, you know, find out about all the different medications that you're on or what history you're there, you've had. And even in the NYU system, if you want to see doctors either downtown or out here on Long Island. It's just a great way of communicating. Doctors can be quickly updated as to your information. So I think that's where it is. That's the state of the art. And of course, we're going to be starting, we hope to be starting next July, our new medical school. And along that'll be the first three-year medical school here in the United States. I mean, fantastic. A three-year medical school. And we've heard recently this past week that along with the NYU giving free tuition to its medical students in Manhattan, if our medical school is approved, which we believe it will be, it was announced that the tuition will also be waived, free tuition for the medical students. That's just phenomenal. What a great thing for a doctor to start his career without, you know, being in the hole $150,000, $200,000. And we're going to be focusing on students that want to have a career in primary care medicine, not necessarily specializing in something, but more primary care and generalized care medicine, because that's really what we need more of in this country. We are lacking. Okay, so we'll go to the phone calls. I think that some people are calling, and the number is 1-800-848-WABC if you'd like to give me a call. And then we'll go back and talk about some other particular topics that I had written down. But I always like to hear from the listeners. So good morning, Freddie, my love.
Yes.
How are you, Fred, in Neptune, New Jersey?
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I'm scheduled for this procedure called Torus Plasma Vaporization.
And well, it's not Torus. Hold on a second now, Fred. It's called a it's a plasma vaporization, which is a way of opening up your prostate for an enlarged prostate condition. It's been used for many years, probably at least 10 years of doing these ways of vaporizing prostate tissue. and trying to do this in an outpatient setting. Some patients do require an overnight stay. It will require anesthesia. You'll be out, general anesthesia. For patients with an enlarged prostate who have having urinary symptoms and have been on medical therapy, is that your situation, Fred?
Yeah, and I'm incontinent also.
You leak urine?
I leak urine.
Okay.
About 15 times, I have to go about 15 times a night, a day, rather.
Well, that's urgency. That's not incontinence. Now, that's a little different. A lot of patients say, I'm incontinent. I say, well, how many pads are you wearing? Are you wearing any pads in the underwear?
Yeah, I wear Depends.
Oh, you do. So, all right. So you have urgency and incontinence, which can be due, it can be due to a lot of different things, Fred. But one of the major things it can be due to is an enlarged prostate pushing up on the bladder and not giving your bladder a lot of room to store urine. And your bladder becomes so irritated that, like you said, you run into the bathroom all night, all day long, and then it becomes a situation where you can't hold it and you're leaking. And that seems to be your situation. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
That's it. That's common. How old are you, Frey?
86.
God bless you, 86 years old. You're otherwise healthy?
I'd say I'm
mm-hmm.
The brain is going.
Mm-hmm. Where's it going?
I'm not sure.
Go and get it.
But I take a couple of Alzheimer's pills.
I see. Oh, that's tough. Yeah. Well, neurological conditions can also be a cause. I'm not saying that that's the cause, but there are patients that have stroke or early onset Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis that can affect the bladder. But you're healthy enough, I assume, to undergo this procedure. You need to have a doctor clear you for this procedure. You had that done?
Well, no.
I see. Are you scheduled for the procedure?
I'm scheduled for the procedure on November 8th.
Okay, and you're 86 years old. You have to have a medical doctor clear you to make sure that you're okay to undergo the procedure.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Well,
that's standard medical practice, Fred. Okay, what's that?
That says something about the doctor who's prescribed this.
Okay, no. It may have been an oversight. Doctors get busy and they overlook things. And then, the next thing you know, you're scheduled for this procedure. And on the day of the procedure, the anesthesiologist is going to say, well, where's the medical clearance? You know, at 86 years old, you got to make sure that your heart is okay. Your lungs are okay because you're going to have general anesthesia. So tomorrow, you can get on the phone, call the doctor in New Jersey. I assume you're going to have it in New Jersey. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Okay. Well, you call him and you say, you know what? I was talking to Dr. Katz on the radio. He said I might need a medical clearance because I'm 86. What do you think, Doc? All right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So do that. And did you have another concern about the procedure? I mean, the procedure is relatively safe. At 86 years old, I would say, in my hands, I would probably recommend that you stay overnight in the hospital. I don't know if they told you that, but
No, they didn't. They said it's an outpatient
procedure.
They said I should have somebody to drive me home.
Yeah, I mean it can be done as an outpatient. I'm not saying that that's wrong. If it's done early in the morning, Fred, it's possible, if you're not having any bleeding and so forth, that you could go home, but I would be, you're going to be, it's going to be done in a hospital. Is that right? Not in an ambulatory center, right?
Oh, it's an outpatient center.
Hmm. All right, a couple of red flags I'm hearing, if it's, and it's a very large prostate.
Well,
you don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know, right.
He calls it a large prostate.
He called it a large prostate. Okay. Well, and did you have another specific question about this procedure you're going to have?
Yeah, exactly. What does it mean?
What does it mean? What does it all mean,
plasma
Fred?
Plasma vaporization.
It means that it's going to vaporize or steam open your prostate, okay?
Oh, steam open.
Well, it's not really steam. You know, it's an electrical cautery. It's an electrical, instrument that goes into the urethra and touches the prostate, and it kind of rolls over the prostate and vaporizes the tissue. There is a new procedure that uses steam. It's called the Rezum. The Advantage, R-E-Z-U-M. You might want to talk to him about this, Fred, only because the advantage of the Rezum, if you're a candidate for it, if your doctor's doing it, it's a relatively new procedure, but it's done in the office, and it's not done with the general anesthesia. You know, a lot of us are getting away from using like a plasma button vaporization that you're going to have because it requires anesthesia and it may require hospitalization. Unless your prostate is one of those that's really extraordinarily large. And in that case, if it was, there are other procedures that you could consider as well. But the vaporization has been, something that's been tried and has been well documented to be quite effective, Fred.
Okay.
Yes. But you could ask him. So here's a couple things you could ask him. One is, do I need a medical clearance? And two is, am I a candidate for some of the newer procedures, minimally invasive procedures? So you might want to write this one down. It's called the Rezum, R-E-Z-U-M. Okay, Freddie?
R-E-Z-U-M.
You got some homework, okay?
Yeah.
R-E-Z-U-M. All right, now listen, if he does a lot of plasma vaporizations and he feels you're a good candidate and he can get you in and out of the hospital on that same day, now you're going to need a catheter. Did he tell you that?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. You will need a catheter. Usually our patients with a vaporization have a catheter overnight, maybe one night, maybe two. I don't know how long he's going to keep it in. But that's, to me, one or two nights difference with a catheterization in the long run, that's not going to be a big deal. But I would like you to have a proper medical evaluation. And that's important, when you're going to have anesthesia, especially when you're 86 years old. And even if you say, well, my heart is great, it's still an 86-year-old heart. It's still going to undergo, anesthesia with narcotics, and it could be a stressful situation. So I would like, to have a medical doctor on board to look at you carefully, make sure that everything is okay before you undergo the procedure. All right, Fred, good luck
okay.
to you.
Thank you very much.
All right, I hope that was helpful for you.
Yes, it was.
Great.
Thank
okay.
you.
Have a good day, buddy.
You too.
All right,
bye-bye.
There you go. Well, the phone lines are open, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. And I think, some of the things that you hear about, the definitions of someone says that they're incontinent, and it sounds like he was incontinent because he was wearing pads and having urgency. And it doesn't always have to be from the prostate. There could be other conditions. I saw a patient recently, this past week, and the cause was a urinary tract infection. We've had patients that have had bladder stones, or stones could certainly cause this. There could be other conditions within the bladder that could cause this. And rarely, especially if you have a history of tobacco use in the past, or if you've seen a little bit of blood in the urine, or you have microscopic blood where you don't even, see blood, but there is blood under the microscope, there could be bladder polyps or sometimes bladder tumors, and we are seeing a lot more bladder cancer these days. Thankfully, I think overall, I don't know the statistics, but I have a sense that the tobacco use, at least among younger people in this area, seems to have gone down. Now, I was in Paris a couple of weeks ago for a conference, medical conference there, where I presented on our focal cryotherapy in Paris. I was just overwhelmed by the amount of people smoking there, both young and old, but especially young. I mean, everywhere in the cafes or on the streets, young people, specifically young women, I noticed, they all seem to be smoking. And thankfully, you can't smoke in the restaurants anymore. So it's, because that's so annoying. I mean, you're trying to have a nice meal and people are smoking. But smoking seems to be rather prevalent over there. And I get a sense, and again, it's just I don't have the statistics. I wonder if there are. There probably are some statistics about it. Although I do see people the e-cigarettes and these Juuls and things like that, where they're taking in just not cigarettes themselves, but the nicotine. And some people walking down the streets of Manhattan and smoking, you know, beyond the smell of marijuana, you smell that, but plumes of smoke. I don't know what, you know, these huge white things of smoke that are coming out of people's mouths. Not tobacco. I don't know. I don't get that. All right, Robert in New Jersey. I hope I'm not sounding too old here. But Robert in New Jersey. Oh, you're having ringing in the ear? I mean, this is a urology show, Robert. Good morning. Is that what you're calling me, ringing in the ear?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that this was urology specific.
Well, I'm a urologist, and you know, sometimes I have guys talk about different things. We could have ringing in the ear. I mean, middle ear infection, or you know, things like that come to mind in years. You probably should see. Have you seen an ENT doctor, Robert?
No, I saw primary care, and they thought it was earwax, but they couldn't get it out, and so I have not taken next steps. So
next step is ENT, ear, nose, and throat. You live in New Jersey. Otherwise, I'd recommend one of our outstanding, because we have a great ENT program at NYU. But then have your primary care doc recommend somebody out there locally for you, buddy.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr.
That's what you need. I mean, it could be wax. It could be, no, it's fine. It could be wax. It could be some infection there. But certainly, if it were me, someone that, you know, one of my patients, I would recommend an ear, nose, and throat physician. Well, if you're just waking up, it's moving along here. It's 7:19 in the morning on Katz's Corner. It always seems to move rather quickly. And if you want to give me a call, phone lines are open, 1-800-848-9222. September was Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, and we screened nearly 500 men this year. We're now getting the results back at our three screening events with Senator Campana and also Campanen, and also Elaine Phillips, Senator Phillips. And then we had our Long Island Cruisin' event. And now we're getting the results back. And not surprisingly, I think of the 500, we're close to over 40 men that were found to have abnormal PSA tests. And so those men will be followed up, not necessarily with biopsy, but they'll be followed up and it should be repeated. I think that's the first thing that I typically tend to do, is repeat the blood test and make sure that it's real, make sure that there's no, you know, evidence of anything else going on. I saw a guy this week who said, you know, I don't know, my PSA was 3 and now it's 8. 8, and that's a big jump in 2 months, Dr. Katz, right? I said, yeah, it is a big jump. Have you ever seen that? Well, yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of things, and certainly I have seen it go up a lot, and I've seen it go down a lot. And but, you know, if it's gone up like that so quickly, you know, I would tend to repeat it to make sure it's really said, you know, I've really been biking a lot and I do a lot of biking now. And I'm not so sure if, you know, the next day I got the PSA, could biking cause it? You know, it's possible, especially if you're out on the road. I don't know so much about a stationary bike. And he also told me that he has wearing these new biking shorts, and they're putting a lot of pressure against his prostate, which I said, well, why are you doing that? I mean, why don't you get a noise? Well, I thought it would be more protective, more padding, but it seems to be causing a lot of pressure there. Maybe that raised the PSA. Yeah, it's possible. Anything's possible. So, you know, I'm not somebody that's going to go right to biopsy, but of course that is a big concern. We also not only look at the absolute number of the PSA, but the age of the patient and how quickly it takes for the PSA to double. So going from 3 to 8 in a couple of months is obviously of a concern. Now, as the previous caller, 86 years old, and the guidelines for PSA, well, he's a little bit outside the guidelines. That's why I didn't talk to him about PSA, because right now there's some guidelines in our American Urological Association stating that if, you know, you go above 69, you know, you don't have to offer the PSA. Do I do it? Do I offer PSA for guys over 69? I definitely do, especially in men that are, you know, active, that are otherwise healthy, that want to know about their PSA. I do have a discussion with them, and I get it. And most guys do want to know about it. And I think that that's reasonable. And so, you know, it really depends on a number of factors, and it's not just one PSA in one time. And there's also, as I've mentioned on the show, you know, the new markers that we have. There's a new blood test, the 4K score, and there's the urine marker, the PCA3, which also can help us in the decision-making. about whether or not somebody needs to have a biopsy. Okay, well, I see that there's somebody calling in. Let's bring him on the line. Jim in Florida. Good morning, Jimmy. How are you?
Morning, Doc.
You're where are you in Florida?
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. Okay. Nice town. I'll be going down to Boca in a few weeks. My mom's going to be turning 80 years old. Going to fly down for the weekend and celebrate with her. So what can I do for you, Jim?
I had a prostate artery embolization.
Okay, a PAE, which we're doing a lot of at our hospital. Did you have it down in Florida, Jim?
Yes.
Okay, so this is, let me just tell the audience, this is a procedure. I got into a little bit earlier with Fred about his prostate. It's for basically men with a very large prostate, and we embolize or cut off the blood supply to the prostate. It's not done by a urologist. It's done by a radiologist. It's outpatient. And they put little coils in the arteries to reduce the blood flow, which should significantly, rather quickly, reduce the volume of the prostate, the size, and reduce urinary symptoms. So you had that done. Is that right?
Yes, about a year ago.
Oh, a year ago. Okay, down in Florida. And how did that go?
The prostate was 165 grams.
All right, so you're a good candidate. 165 grams, you're about five times normal size prostate. That's real big. So either you're going to have a big surgical procedure. I assume you were having urinary symptoms beyond just having a big prostate. It was bothering you.
Frequency.
Just frequency.
Right.
Okay, not in retention. You didn't need a catheter. You could urinate just frequently.
Correct.
Because some guys with a real big prostate like that, 165 grams, can't urinate at all. And then you need a catheter. Okay, so you have frequency. You get this PAE down in Florida a year ago. What happens?
Okay, my prostate is now 100 grams.
Okay, that's good. And?
Okay. And still got the frequency. And right now I'm taking Mirabetrix.
Okay, Mirabetrix is one of the newer medications to calm the bladder down. It's in the class of medications called anticholinergics that are geared towards just that, just for frequency, just to calm the bladder down. Can have some side effects of a dry mouth and constipation, and you have to be careful if you have a history of high blood pressure because it can raise your blood pressure. So you should be checked for your blood pressure while you're on this. And how is that working for you?
I check my blood pressure. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. And how are you doing with the Mirabetrix? Any side effects?
Not really. Dry mouth, but, you know. That's...
Dry mouth you can get, yes. Okay, so what's your question then?
Okay, right now I'm trying acupuncture.
Okay.
And I'm probably after my third episode of acupuncture, and it seems to be working a little bit better.
Good.
Okay. Now, my question is, if your prostate is still 100 grams, what options do you have?
It's still big, okay, but it's to come down very nicely. Let me ask you something. Has any doctor recommended one of the medications to shrink the prostate further, like a Proscar, which is finasteride, or, dutasteride, one of those other medications?
No.
Avodart? No? No one's recommended that?
No.
I'm surprised. That's kind of surprising because that is one of the go-to, medications that's fairly, without any significant side effects, okay? It can be done, taken daily and can over time. Now, you're not going to have that huge reduction that you've had from 160 to 100, but it could reduce it further and help you with your urinary frequency. So you have a urologist down there?
Oh, yeah, yes.
I'm surprised that he didn't recommend that. So I would give him a call and say he was, talking with me, and what do you think, does he think that adding, one of those medications, either Avodart or Proscar, and there's now generics of them, so it's relatively inexpensive and relatively, without significant side effects, could give you further reduction in prostate volume. If you didn't want to take a medication, you're still a little bit outside of the window of some of these minimally invasive therapies, but you could consider the Rezūm. There has been some recent data looking at large prostates with the Rezūm, which is the heat vaporization, the steaming of the prostate. That would be something to consider. Or like the previous caller, the vaporization, the plasma vaporization. But the question is really, how beyond just shrinking the prostate, would you say that the PAE helped you with your symptoms?
Yes, a little bit, yes. You know, and the way I knew about the PAE is when you had that interventional radiologist on there.
Probably
a year and a half ago, you know.
Yeah, yeah, Manny Hahn. What was it, Jason Hoffman, one of our guys.
Right.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad that that was, you were able to, you know, to gain information from the show, and it helped you. I don't think I would do another PAE.
No,
I wouldn't do that, but, you know, if it's just urinary frequency, I assume that someone scoped you and looked inside your bladder, correct?
Correct. They
okay. Because you don't want to...
But now with the acupuncture, I guess that's going to... It does something with the nerves going to the bladder.
Yes.
And I'm only getting up once a night now. Nighttime's good. You know, it's just the daytime.
Okay. Well, listen, stay on the Mirabetric. You know, you can do the things like, you know, reducing the amount of coffee or tea that you're drinking or diet sodas, which can contribute to urinary frequency and urgency. So those are some of the things that you can consider. You can consider one of the medications that I talked about. I think the Mirabetric is a very reasonable option for you at this point because over time, you know, you've had this irritated bladder from this very, very enlarged prostate, which doesn't go away overnight, that irritability. So I think overall you did the right thing. You had the right indication. You had the right treatment. You didn't have any major side effects from it. And you have some urinary frequency and getting up one time a night. Well, I mean, listen,
that's
most guys
good.
Can live with that, right?
Yeah, but mainly I want to thank you about letting me know about the PAE.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. I'm glad I could help you with that. Terrific. That's great. Thank you. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your phone call. Okay, we have a few minutes left. I just got the two-minute warning in my ear. So let's, I guess, Barbara, you have a question. Good morning. About, I guess your daughter's going to have some surgery?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What kind of surgery is she having?
She's having bariatric surgery. It's having a sleeve.
Okay.
She has a hernia. And we're interested, obviously, in repairing the hernia at the same time.
Okay.
One doctor that she's going to said that he would do the surgery, stitch the hernia, and then come back at another time and put in a mesh.
Well, I would tell you one thing, Barbara. We have the chairman of surgery here at NYU Winthrop, Colin Brathwaite, who sometimes co-hosts this show, is an outstanding guy for bariatric surgery. Regionally, nationally, even internationally, and I would trust him with anyone in my family. Give him a call. Tell him you heard about, you know, that I referred him, you know, I referred you to him from the show. Colin Brathwaite, he's the chairman of surgery out here at NYU Winthrop. He can give you the real answer. Okay, Barbara? But I think you probably can be done at the same time. But this is not my field, but I think why not?
Could you spell the doctor's name?
Okay. I'm sorry, Barbara, that's the end. Colin Brathwaite. Just look up NYU Winthrop Hospital on the internet and check out the Department of Surgery, and you can find him. Well, that's the music and the end of the show. I want to thank everyone for tuning in, and tune in next week. I'll have a great show for you then. Wow, the weather's going to be nice summertime. Get out, walk around, exercise, take some deep breaths, and enjoy the day. And go Yankees! All right, how to get that in. See you then, guys. Have a great week every Sunday. This is Dr. Aaron Katz.
WABC, New York.